And nobody else's anything could tell me that I wasn't worth it. And I was breaking that story in an instant. And it was not comfortable. Let me tell you, it was not comfortable. I was up against a terror barrier, and I had to move through it anyways. Best freaking decision ever. Okay, so in this episode, I thought I would share with you, you know, pull back the curtain on what I did to scale my business. Like the things that were really salient to me in terms of going from someone who was working really hard and getting good results to putting the effort in and getting great results and really, you know, turning things around, not just being someone who really, you know, was had enthusiasm and had initiative and was working hard and doing all the things, but into someone who was getting the results that she actually wanted, because we want to be results oriented. That's one of the things that is super important. I will often talk to people about, like, so what are the results that you're getting, and are they what you want? And inevitably for me, my results are great or good. Well, let's say, how do I say this? When I am in massive growth and I know I'm doing all the things and I'm really going for it, I will get great results, but then there will always be more. There's, and that's good, because desire calls you forward into more. Desire calls you into your larger, bigger life. So there's always going to be more. And if I'm honest, I'm going to say, I'm not getting these results that I want. So I have to unpack that. I have to figure out, where am I stopping there, and turn that around and really, like, step into more there. But if I go back 6 years, I would have had a different statement. I would have said to myself, you know what? Things are good enough right now. Things are good. I have a really good life. Why should I ask for more? Right? I would have said, you know, I want more, but you know what? Things are good enough. That is one of the stories that I hear people to say to themselves, and I'm familiar with it because I did it myself. Like, I should just be satisfied with what I have. Shouldn't that be enough, right? Isn't it wrong to keep asking for more and not be grateful or appreciative of what we have? Well, actually, those are two different things. Saying that what you have right now is good enough, like you should stop there, is different than saying, you know, I appreciate and am so grateful for everything that I have now. Those are two different things. You absolutely want to be grateful for what you have now. You absolutely want to appreciate what you have now. But you also want to say, and if I am going to live out my more life directive, that directive that I was born with, that spiritual seed that is my spiritual DNA that says this is what you're made for. If I'm going to actually live that out and not cop out on it, not, you know, compromise on it, not end up at the end of my life and say, shoulda, coulda, woulda, right? Then I actually cannot listen to this is good enough. That is a big story. So anyways, what I really did to scale, I went off on a little tangent there. I hope it made sense, but I'm going to go back to my story and letting you know. Oh, I know what I was talking about. I was talking about, like, where I was 6 years ago, which was saying that things were good enough right now. But in fact, I wasn't happy. I was working really super hard and not getting the results I wanted. Now, that's not to say that I wasn't getting any results. My first year in business, I was super proud of myself. It was actually probably less than a full year, and I made $30,000 in a totally new business. And then the second year in business, I made $90,000. So I tripled my income. I almost made it to that, you know, at the time it felt like a mythical six-figure amount, right? But I was proud of myself. I was also like, oh, I didn't make it to six figures, but I was proud of myself. And then that next year, my third year in business, I went from $90,000 to $138,000. So that's roughly around $50,000, just under $50,000. of an increase, which is, you know, pretty significant. It was over making over half what I, you know, time and a half what I'm, I don't know how to say that exactly, but half of 90K was 45K, made more than that, more than that next year. So I wasn't doing everything wrong. Like, and let's step out of the wrong right game, but I was doing some things right. There was a certain level of competency there. Okay. So you want to understand this. There's a way of framing this that I learned that really helped me, which was to look at this as being an unconscious competent. That means I was unconscious of the things that I was doing that was actually moving the needle. I was unconscious of what the competencies were that were required for success. And I was doing lots of things, many of which weren't necessary for success. So that's where you get the spin out. That's where you get the overwhelm. That's where you get going in 1,000 different directions. That's where you get the sabotage and the blockage and the stopping. But there were certain things that I was doing right that led to this unconscious competency. So a few of the things, like one thing that I did do right was I set up a policy for myself at the very beginning of my business to give 10% of what I received in to charity and to make that a methodical, systemized process. At the time, every dollar counted, and it was hard, a struggle, an emotional struggle, to give that 10%. It felt, I was like, I could really use that money, quite frankly. But I knew that I needed to step out of my money scarcity. I knew I needed to change my money mindset. I knew I needed to really start believing that there was enough and that I could earn as much money as I desired. And so one of the unconscious competencies that I did was when I gave to the charitable donations, every time I got a sale, I did it right away. Every time I got a sale, I gave. After a little while, it was at the end of each month I would do it. But in the beginning, it was like after each sale, I would like open I picked three charities and I opened the next one up on the list and I gave to that charity. Ultimately, it became one charity a month because I wanted to systemize it and spend a little less time on it. But every time I gave, I would change my energy behind it because I could feel that tightness in my heart. I could feel that fear. I could feel that scarcity feeling come up. And I had to like open and be like, this is what I'm doing. Thank you so much. This is a gift that I'm giving and I'm paying it forward. I love doing this. I would like act as if it was fine. And I changed my energy state. And I have to tell you guys, this is one of the keys to success. One of the things that I have learned subsequently when studying the laws is that the first law of receiving is giving. I had no idea. I mean, we hear giver's gain, we hear golden rule, we hear these things in our culture, our upbringing, in our spirituality, but I didn't really get it. Like, I didn't understand it. I didn't recognize it as a cause that would lead to an effect. Like, that it's very causative. It's not random. It's not just a nice thing to do. It's not just what good people do. It's actually one of the things that allows you to receive more. But guess what? You have to give with an open heart. You have to give without fear. It doesn't work to give and be like miserly about it and be like, okay. But I also was like, okay, I'm going to give systematically. I'm not going to overgive. Okay. So that's an example of some unconscious competency there. So the next thing that I want to point out is that when I had, you know, the first year, second year, third year, it was that third year I had crossed the six-figure mark, but I was doing all the things, right? I was what, and this is the unconscious incompetency part of it, I was doing what I call the spaghetti approach. And I bet you all know that. It's like, I'm going to throw it at the wall and see if it sticks. So I was like trying all the things. I was overworking. I was overdoing things. I was trying everything. I thought I was being strategic. I thought I was doing what I needed to do. But really, I was just like, is this going to work? Is this going to work? Is this going to work? What's going to stick? And I just kept adding things to my plate and doing more and more, to the point where, you know, I was working 12 plus hour days and, you know, sometimes 10 hours, sometimes 12, sometimes 14, long days. And I was freaking exhausted. This was not light you up kind of working. Now I will tell you that I put in hours, okay? I also take some good time off, but I put in hours. I'm recording this on a Sunday, okay? I've worked every single day this week, okay? But do I have great energy right now? Absolutely. Am I thrilled to be doing this? Yes. Am I miserable? Like, do I need a nap? Do I need to check out? No, I'm like, bring it on. Do we have time to do the next one? Let's do another one before lunch, right? Like, I am raring to go. But at the time, I was not, because I was scattered. I was not focused. I did not have the art of strategic focus down. I didn't know what the needle moving actions were. So I did everything all at once. I didn't know how to manage my mindset. I didn't understand the mental aspects of success. I didn't understand the laws. I didn't know, I didn't know so many things. Okay, let's just put it at that. So I was feeling a lot of guilt about being lost, quite frankly, in that. Like, I think I should know what I'm doing, but I don't. And what the blankety blank. And I hear a lot of people in business, like, let's pull back the curtain on this, guys. Okay. I talk to so many women and they're like desperate because they've been in business for a long time. And why is it still so freaking hard? Like, people are looking up to them. People are saying, you know, wow, you've got it made. And yet they haven't sorted this out. And that's exhausting. That's what builds the exhausting. Or there's conflicts, right? There's emotional conflicts. Like, I should be with my kids, but I want to be working on my business. Right? That kind of conflict. I should be with my partner, but I want to be working on my business. That's freaking exhausted. That's what makes the long days not energizing, but destructive. Okay? So at that point, I really had to rethink how I was doing things. I knew that this was not sustainable anymore. I knew I wasn't going to get to the next level by just getting... You know, I couldn't double my work hours to double my income, much less five times my work hours to five times my income. It was unfreaking sustainable, right? I was already working those huge hours. And, you know, I love my sleep. I'm a good sleeper. I want sleep, okay? And I want to do a lot of other things. I have a really full, you know, bountiful life. So, you know, I knew that this wasn't sustainable. And so... You know, as a lifetime learner, as someone who's committed to her growth mindset, as someone who is into developing herself and developing her business, I was going and seeking out success. Like, where do I learn about success? And I went to an event and a seminar, and I heard my mentor say, you can make your annual income your monthly income. And my ears perked right up. I was like, whoa! like, if you can imagine, like, the dog ears that go, okay, like, I was just like, I want that. When I talk about desire being causative, like, my whole being was like, that's what I want. That sounds really good. Let's do that. And I also stepped into my desire to make $1 million. Okay. So, like a little like full circle thing, when I made my annual income, my monthly income, I did it in 2 days, actually, guys. Okay. So that blew my freaking mind. Okay. Like, not only did I make what I made last year in a month, which would have been amazing. I made it in 2 days. And now let's unpack this. There was a lot that led up to that, right? You don't become a millionaire overnight. You don't make your annual income, your monthly income overnight. You've got to commit. You've got to do the work, okay? But when I actually did it, it was in 2 days, okay? So that was pretty amazing. And so what else on that? So when I first heard that, I was like, I want that. I'm going to do this. This is what I'm made for. I know it. I had a conversation about it. I thought I was all that and more. And then I heard what the investment was. And I came up with all my excuses and I didn't step into it. And of course, you know, everything happens for a reason, but I hate that expression. I just hate it. Okay. Because it's like, it's not taking personal responsibility. Here's the thing. If I had signed up at that moment, I would be so much further along right now because your growth is exponential. Okay. So the only thing I regret is not doing it sooner, but I'm very happy and grateful for how things turned out. And my life is what it is right now based on that. So zero regrets on the flip side. Okay. But, that would have been something I would have done differently. Okay. I would have, said yes to that right away because I spent a lot of time on my dog's bed in the morning at 4 a.m, curled up in the fetal position, waiting for the coffee to brew, wanting it so badly and feeling so torn between, quite frankly, the stories in my head about what I was worthy of, which came through, if I'm honest about it, as my husband doesn't want me to do it. My husband doesn't think it's a good expenditure of money, a good investment. But I was being a victim in that moment. I was giving myself over, like my agency, my power to decide over to someone else. Now, that doesn't mean that I'm not in a partnership or make financial decisions with someone else when you're, if that's the kind of partnership that you have. But I really was, I was feeling bad about this decision because I was not owning what I really wanted. Okay. So then when I finally invested, I invested in a VIP day and then in private coaching right away after that VIP day. And I will tell you that the VIP day alone was a huge investment, but I could wrap my head around that at that point. And then when I signed up for the private coaching in that VIP day, I was like, I am going to do this. I was crying. I was shaking and crying. All the cells in my body were screaming, no, run for the hills. This is wrong. Okay. But that little voice inside me, my heart, my soul was telling me that this was right. And I signed on the dotted line without, and here's the truth, without asking my husband. And that's what was making me cry and shake, was that I was making a decision, stepping forward and breaking an unspoken rule. Well, actually, the agreement that we had in our marriage was that we discuss financial investments together. But there was a deeper rule that I was breaking, which was that, you know, now I was saying I was worthy of more, quite frankly, and that no one could tell me that I wasn't. Okay? Nobody's money story, nobody's limited thinking, nobody's fears, nobody else's anything could tell me that I wasn't worth it. And I was breaking that story in an instant. And it was not comfortable. Let me tell you, it was not comfortable. I was up against a terror barrier. We'll talk about terror barriers in a moment. And I had to move through it anyways. Best freaking decision ever. Was it scary? Absolutely. Did I come home and share this with my husband immediately? I did not hide it. Yes. Was, you know, at first he was like, what the heck? But that day, I'm going to say sold, not sold. I'll explain this. I had a sales conversation with someone and sold what I sell at 3 times what I was selling what I sold for before. Now, I couldn't hold it. It was so easy, and my self-image hadn't caught up with that I couldn't hold it, and she ended up not signing up. So that was a sale, not sale. But in the moment where it was a sale, my husband got behind it because he was like, wow, something happened there. There was a big shift. And then when the sale didn't happen and the reality of the fact of it set in, it triggered him. And I respect that. I get that. I was the one that was putting the family's money commitment, you know, in place, signing on the dotted line. And he didn't, I took that control away from him, and he did not like that. And I might not have liked it either, quite frankly. Okay. So I was very like, I understood why he was pissed. And although it wasn't a full silent treatment, it was a pretty big silent treatment. Like I just need to deal with, I need to retreat into my cave and deal with what just happened in our relationship for about 3 weeks. And let me just tell you, I was in deep shame about that. I thought, how could I have done this? I'm losing this guy, this great guy that I'm married to. All my security is going to be gone. I've done something wrong and bad. I was crying a lot. I was in the fetal position a lot. I was not in action immediately because I was so torn up. But ultimately, I stepped forward and I said, you know what? I did this. I want this. I want this badly enough. I am going to, I'm just going to step in. I'm going to do whatever it takes, okay? Within ethics, okay? I'm not going to hurt someone. Now, you might say, well, that was completely unethical what you did, signing up for this large investment in mentorship and coaching without discussing it with your partner. And there, you know, some people might say that, some people might think that. And in a lot of ways, I was stuck in that story. But ultimately, what happened was I stepped into more and I did more and I got amazing results. And my husband at the time loved those results and got behind it and wanted to learn what I was learning. And it was a great breakthrough for him as well. And it was a great benefit for him as well. The short term was not so pretty, but the long term was great. So in a lot of ways, it's a very nuanced situation. The short term was that it didn't feel good to the person and it hurt someone else, right? He did not feel good about that. But if you trust desire, if you trust what you want, if you trust that desire is spirit calling you forward, when it's that core knowing, then you know that it's for the benefit of everyone. And it might not feel that way in the beginning, but ultimately you get there. And then of course it's up to the other person to figure out what the frame is on it and how that, what meaning they're going to assign it and what they're going to do with it. So I am going to pause the story at this point and do the second half of the story in part two of, you know, how I actually scaled, like the behind the scenes, pull back the curtains, like the not so pretty, the messy, you know, shaking and crying, snotty nosed, I need 50 Kleenex right now moments. And we'll finish out the story in the next episode. Okay, catch you then. Take care. Bye. Thank you so much for joining us and for being a part of the Unstoppable Woman movement. I want to let you know that we've got a ton of free resources for you for scaling your business at theunstoppablewoman.com/free stuff. Please go ahead and check those out. And we'd also love your help in getting the message out. Share this podcast with all the unstoppable women in your life, your friends, your colleagues, your business besties. Please do that. And if you're game, we'd super duper duper appreciate a review on iTunes as well. Thanks so much, and be unstoppable.